are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay originally aired on December 18, 1987.
Recently, I was asked to develop a slide set about the pond in winter. It's an intriguing assignment, and I thought you might be interested in a bit of what I found out amidst snow and icy water. Well, I'll admit, I never really seen what goes on down there. I don't have the special equipment required, so I did the next best thing and hired a muskrat as a guide. The muskrat is perfectly at home in the pond or marsh, winter or summer. If the muskrat had a memory for such things, he'd certainly be impressed by the great difference between this winter scene and that which is offered by the pond in summer. In summer, the pond is alive with life, lush plants, fish, insects, frogs, turtles, ducks. During the heart of winter, the pond is an impossible environment for either ducks or turtles. Ice and snow form a barrier that creates two nearly separate worlds, one above and one below the ice. Our guide, the muskrat, makes full use of both worlds, as we shall see, but presently he is not in sight, so let's venture forth ourselves to explore the pond above the ice. First, we test the ice carefully to make sure it will hold our weight. Presently, we're following a rabbit's track. That's kind of a surprise, isn't it? We don't think of the cottontail as a pond or marsh dweller. The ice makes it possible for the rabbit to reach food sources he'd be reluctant to go after in summer. There are other tracks there, too. Stories in the snow. Over there is a meandering trail of a hunting fox. Here is a direct trail of a retreating pheasant. Pheasants often use the marshy edges of a pond in winter. The teepee-like bases of the cattails provide good cover, and the variety of plant and shrubs which extend above the snow provide some food. Even mice venture across the snow, often remodeling a red-winged blackbird's nest or appropriating last year's marsh wren's nest. When frigid winter winds blow, such a retreat might prove life-saving. Leading from the pond to the field beyond is a strange track. The trackmaker was certainly as large as a rabbit. It shuffled along, dragging its tail behind. Suddenly, up ahead, we spot the animal digging in the snow. On close inspection, we can see that this is our friend, the muskrat, busy digging for succulent upland weeds and grasses. It's a good thing for the muskrat that we're not foxes. Finally, the muskrat notices us and takes off for a little patch of open water a dozen feet away. Now it's time for us to use our imaginations. We swallow our shrinking pill and don our imaginary wetsuits and follow behind. As soon as we slip beneath the ice, we notice how dark it is down there. The light filtering through the ice and snow is dim. It's almost like being in a dark tunnel with the brightest light behind us or someplace in the distance. That bright light comes from holes in the ice. It must really be dark down here when the ice-snow layer gets thick. As our eyes become accustomed to the dim light, we notice that little of that lush summer vegetation remains. Looking around as we swim along just below the ice, we see few signs of life. Turtles and frogs have disappeared. They sought refuge from winter by burying themselves in the mud and going to sleep. Even though our guide may spend long periods sleeping or resting in the heart of winter, he is still more active than most wetland wildlife. As we follow him out across the deep water again, we see the dim outlines of minnows, perch, and other fish that remain active throughout the winter. They, in turn, are dependent on insects and crustaceans that are active, too. Right now, we can't see any, but we know they're there. If we had time to watch for them, we'd see them moving. That's a purchase strategy. Hang there and watch until something edible moves. The muskrat dives again, swimming across another deep channel. Looking down to the bottom, we see the dim shadows of several large fish, perfectly still and seemingly tethered in space. They are largemouth bass, sleeping out the heart of winter. The muskrat grubs among some partly exposed rootstocks. He pulls one loose and prepares to climb out of on the ice where he can chew on it. After dining, the muskrat dives into the water again, passing near a foot-long pickerel, just as it captures a small perch. The pickerel is one of those predatory fish that remains active throughout the year. Now we enter the shallows again, pushing our way between the cattail stems and up into a 3-foot mound of rotting vegetation, to a dry chamber with several small side chambers radiating from it. This is the muskrat's winter lodge. We soon discover that he shares a lodge with several other muskrats. Most of the side chambers are occupied. Our guide settles down and is soon asleep. It's time to return to reality. We'll have to find our way out. As we stride across the ice, we notice the sun is about to set. the loud call of a pileated woodpecker which has been digging carpenter ants out of a pondside cherry tree helps to usher out the day. The hoots of a pair of hunting great horned owls serve as a reminder that night will soon be upon us. It's time to leave the winter pond to its own devices. We have to hurry home. Well, that's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.